This back again. This is a phase one commutation hearing for Arvin Prasad, ABC number is 251495. Mr. Prasad is currently serving a 14-year sentence for sexual assault, followed by a 2-year sentence for unlawful imprisonment that he has, and that's followed up by a 7-year probation sentence that he would be serving. He does have a ICE detainer that he would actually be serving. According to the information in his commutation application, Mr. Prasad states that after the alleged crime occurred, he felt bad because he lost his children, his business, his life, his wife, and there was no crime that was committed. There was just a threat. He said he never committed a crime, and he's not a United States citizen. Says he was born in the Republic of Fiji Islands, and he is a citizen of Fiji. He said he lost his dream, his wife, and all the things. He said all he knows is that he was a citizen of the Republic of Fiji, and that he's been held in an American state prison illegally and held against his will. He says he does not have contact with his prime minister of his country, nor his family, and he's basically being held unconstitutionally in violation of the Constitution of the United States of America, as well as the Constitution of the Republic of Fiji, which is what he states he has. He says the court committed him for the crimes which he was found guilty of. He says he did not commit those crimes that he was found guilty of. According to his progress report, he has very little programming that he's received since he's been in custody. According to his release plan, he states that released back to the community, he will or may live with a friend of his who resides 13209 West Cabrillo here in Sun City. And in addition, the city could also stay with his pastor friend who resides in Mesa, Arizona. He has had three majors since in 2016 for refusal to program. I do want to at least make a note that probably his refusal to program is that he says that he was in fear of his life and that he had been threatened by other inmates. And he says he was refusing so that he could be put on another yard because his life was in danger. According to the facts that we have in this case, what actually occurred, according to the pre-sentence report that we have, states that the Mr. Prasad owned a dry cleaners and alteration shop, said that he hired a college student to work for him during the 2009 summer break. 1 week after she started, he asked her to come to work early. When she arrived, he took her to a restaurant where they had lunch at. Then he drove her to a friend's house. There, under the disguise of going there to get some work receipts, he led her to one of the bedrooms, embraced her, and moved toward the bed. She hit him in the groin area across the face to get away because she felt like he was not letting her go. And she told him that she was quitting at the time. Then, you know, after she had quit approximately 1 month later, he hired a 17-year-old high school student and asked her to work on a day that the shop appeared to be closed. When she arrived at work, he asked her if she drank alcohol. She said yes. He then poured her two shots of liquor and prepared a mixed drink, which she consumed. Mr. Prasad then drove her to get lunch. Afterwards, he took her to that same house he had previously taken the other female to, led her to a bedroom where he sexually assaulted her. Then after he sexually assaulted her, he was driving her around in the car, just driving around. She says that he aimlessly drove around, and she saw a police car stopped at a red light. She knows a police car parked at the gas station. She attempted to get out of the car. He grabbed her by the hand and refused her to let her go. Subsequently, he drove her to a former attorney friend of his house, where the attorney made him let her go and called a taxi cab to come pick her up. When she did that, the teenager's mother had been looking for her. She had called her phone and left text messages and didn't get any response. They went to the shop and saw that her purse and things were still at the shop, and it was obviously closed. People had said that indicated that she had left the shop with friends. When they asked the Mr. Prasad where she was at, he told her that she had left the shop with some friends and was unable to describe any of the friends that she actually left with. He went to court and was convicted of contributing to the delinquency of a minor, which was a Class 1 misdemeanor. He was convicted of sexual assault, a Class 2 felony, and kidnapping, a Class 2 felony, and unlawful imprisonment, false reporting to law enforcement. He was sentenced to 14 years in prison, followed by a 7-year probation that he actually received 256 credit days for. As a result of the 7 years probation and the kidnapping, he had several charges that were actually dismissed. He did appeal his hearing, which was appealed to the Court of Appeals, the State of Arizona, Division 1, and they upheld and affirmed conviction of Mr. Prasad. If I'm looking at all of the information that we have, I do not feel that the sentence was excessive. As a result of the agreement that was court's documents that he actually had, that he was actually had several charges that were actually dismissed. He had counts 1, 5, 6, and 7 that were to run concurrent. He also had count 2 and 5 that he only received community supervision for. The count 4, he received a term of 7 years probation. Had those charges been not dismissed or not running concurrent, he would have done an extreme more time than he actually does. Plus the fact that he was actually involved in this and got convicted of it, and then denies it, saying that he didn't commit any crime, that there was only a threat of a crime that actually occurred, and that he was being incarcerated unconstitutionally. I just do not see this sentence that he received. I think it was pretty lenient for the acts that he committed, and I do not see these as being excessive, and do not feel that this should be passed on to a base to hear it. I'm willing to listen to the rest of my colleagues. Ms. Rittenhouse.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. I would just add, you've already stated that this was a 17-year-old girl, and that there was evidence found that he sexually assaulted her, and there was clear evidence. So he is incorrect in his assertion that he did not commit this crime.
So you're absolutely right. Thank you for that addition. Therefore, I am going to make a motion to not pass Mr. Prasad on to a base 2 hearing.
I'll second.
Agree.
Motion by myself. Second, Ms. Rittenhouse. Agreed, Dr. Rice. And agreed, Mr. Neal. That is going to conclude the hearing for Mr. R.M. Prasad at this time.